when I come up with ideas, they'll just start from a very, like, primal, I just want to see this cute thing on screen, and then I'll find the meaning and the metaphor and the themes to justify why it should be that. But really, it just came from like a place of like, ah, they're so cute, and wouldn't it be awesome if they were gigantic?
At a zoo, a red panda climbs a log.
What's the panda doing again?
Tenzin, and then the girl is like the older one, right?
Domi Shi, director.
I didn't realize they'd be so small.
Real red pandas are really cute. And I think that's the main reason why I was drawn to making a story about them.
It's got kind of a belly sometimes.
They're very tubular, and they have very long, fluffy tails, more pointed snouts.
The tail's about 18 inches.
Danielle Feinberg, visual effects supervisor.
They feel a little cat-like, kind of raccoon, kind of bear, maybe a little splash of monkey or something.
A red panda plays with a ball.
Look at it.
They're totally solitary. They don't really communicate with one another. They're kind of like, you know, teenagers.
I like the long tooth.
Oh, yeah, that one's like an old one.
I found a lot of, like, parallels between red pandas and May and her story. Like, red pandas are very attached to their mom.
May and her mom tap brooms.
They sleep all day. They eat bamboo, but they're not supposed to eat bamboo. Like, bamboo doesn't give them enough nutrients. So I kind of imagine it's just like a lazy teenager just eating chips and sleeping all day. They're native to China. Then also, it's like red and white, like Chinese, but also like the colors of the Canadian flag too. So it felt like the perfect animal to tell this story about this Chinese-Canadian teenage girl.
May struts down a sidewalk.
I'm Maylin Lee, and ever since I turned 13, I've been doing my own thing, making my own moves, 24/7, 365.
Turning Red is about May, a Chinese-Canadian girl living in Toronto in 2002. It's very specific.
It's a mother-daughter story.
At its most base level, this film is about growing up and figuring out who you are and embracing that.
May emerges from her room as a red panda.
Everything changes for May when she wakes up one morning and discovers she's a giant 8-foot-tall furry red panda. And she realizes, oh, like, I can control this transformation.
May presses her palms together and closes her eyes.
If I just stay completely calm and even for the rest of my life, I will stay human and it'll be A-OK.
Back in human form, May notices her now red hair.
But that's not how life works.
May falls as she does a cartwheel. In red panda form, May sails right toward us, her paws outstretched. A title appears, Embrace the Panda.
So the red panda is basically a metaphor for magical puberty.
A sketch shows May in both forms.
Just seeing how this girl who thought she had everything under control, suddenly big and hairy and smelly, an emotional wreck.
This panda is incredibly cute. It's also true to that time in a girl's life. In some ways, it's the worst time. You're not a kid and you're not an adult. This poor girl, she's looking in a mirror and seeing that she's got hair everywhere and she stinks and she's big and doesn't fit through the doorway.
Panda May is only half in control. She's having a great time, but then she's like, ah! And, like, I don't know, that feels very much like what my teenage years were like.
She watches a scene.
It's bodily, it's emotional, it's all about, can I embrace this? Can I grow into it? Can I still love who I am, knowing that I've become someone that I'm not used to?
It's all going according to plan.
A group enters the red art room.
It's the first time in my career where all the key leadership on the show are women. And I feel like that sets a very different vibe.
It's completely amazing to have this all women leadership team. I have spent the entirety of my career in meetings where I was one of very few women. Now sitting there and making plans and it's all women in the room has been this really crazy thing and very different for me.
Everything's different about this film. I mean, I don't know how to answer that question without starting with Domi.
She's a good girl, just like I was.
I first heard of Domi through seeing one of her 10-second animation clips. I was in college, and it was something that she posted on her blog. My
lady. A hamster dances in a spotlight.
It was this dancing twerking hamster to a K-pop song.
Rona Liu, production designer.
Who is this girl? She's probably gonna be a really funny director one day.
When I first started this movie, I was really determined to make something different. We're gonna be spending 4 or 5 years of our life on this. Like, we gotta go big.
I'm Domi Shi, the director of Rep. And ever since we started making this movie, we've been breaking convention and making people laugh 24/7, 365.
Legally, it's 9 to 5, 261.
On this show, we wear what we want, say what we want, and we will not hesitate to do spontaneous cartwheels if we feel so moved.
Domi is a force of nature. She's a first-time feature director. It's been a while since I've worked with a first-time director before, and I'm loving it.
In conclusion, welcome to Red!
Domi sits at the front of a large cheering group. A word appears, Red. A woman presses a button on a control panel for the lights.
Did that actually change anything? Yes, it did. So, welcome, everyone.
Just ignore the camera, everyone. It's not there.
Don't look right here.
She points directly at the lens.
Making the film, it's just been a long marathon, but in the first couple of years, it was mostly me and Julia, our screenwriter, and the head of story, Rosie Sullivan, the story team, and then Nick, our editor, and we were just working on the reels. Yeah, it feels like you're part of a pirate ship.
Domi draws on a graphics tablet.
Because you're all kind of just working and sweating for like these drawings, and you're all aiming to make the director react or respond.
They watch an animated sketch of a merman. Lindsay Collins, producer.
I started working with her, and pretty quickly, I felt like this woman is really impressive, also incredibly clear in her vision.
And then, ta-da, I'm like, imagine it to look like a comic book background. Thank you, Margaret. Yeah. Great work.
So fun.
Domi gives the camera a thumbs up.
She is so unique in how she thinks about movies, how she communicates her vision, her humor, her tone.
A man shows artwork of city buildings.
Lives within our world.
Yes.
That's what you're looking for.
Yes, sorry. I feel like I have to be more of a director now with the camera.
The crew slowly grew bigger and bigger.
To give you a general sense of the BG buildings.
This reminds me of Toronto a lot, mm-hmm. Like a lot of these old buildings.
And then, like last year, it just exploded. And that was during the pandemic. It just so happens that like the busiest time on the show was when we were all working from home.
Hi, Frankie.
At home, Danielle pets a French bulldog.
It may not be obvious, I don't know, but making films is a huge kind of team effort. And so the more you can collaborate with the people around you, the better the movie's gonna be.
People appear in a video chat.
As we were kind of leaving to walk out the door for getting sent home, Domi said, well, maybe I could do like a coffee time or something just so we can keep in touch with the crew. And we all went, oh, what a great idea. And in the beginning, it really was kind of this awesome thing of just being able to see more than like three people in your life. And also getting to hear from the director weekly is pretty cool.
May's struggle throughout Act Two.
Even if sometimes it's just like a little update, it felt like some kind of connection.
We are starting with a couple nominations from our dailies team.
I've been really surprised because we routinely get 100 and something people coming to it.
Oh, thank you. Exceptionally bad and so out of key, but I really love it.
Here's to a better 2021.
We're coming together in some of the best way you can do during pandemic with a giant movie crew. So it's been pretty cool.
In a video chat, Domi watches a man play a trumpet.
My job is visual effects supervisor on the film. First woman in 20 years at Pixar to have that job.
For almost 15 years, I was a lighting DP, and so most of my career at Pixar has been about lighting, thinking about how to make the most beautiful movie possible, how to make a great experience for the lighting team.
Maybe a little bit of this down here, even though that would catch the light.
How to engage with the director, how to coordinate with other departments, how to do groundbreaking stuff. And then now I'm in this new role overseeing heavily tech and some of the creative, and I'm now in the leadership group of running the movie. And then at the same time, I became a mother for the first time. I have twins, a boy and a girl.
She plays with her son.
I don't know that I ever thought I was gonna have kids. You know, there's days where it feels completely overwhelming, I would say.
She unfolds a collapsible tunnel and her son runs over, beaming.
But I also am now a year and a half into being a mother. And I'm 2 years into this position. I love both things dearly, and it's hard to imagine not having them now.
Her daughter stares at the camera.
And I got married to my amazing wife.
Danielle's wife arrives home.
You guys!
Paige is a battalion chief for the Alameda County Fire Department. She is the highest ranking woman of that department, which I am never endingly proud about. She would not love that I'm bragging about her, but I love to brag about her. It's one of my favorite topics.
Now, Lindsay peeks into Danielle's office.
Are you going to be able to jump into the end credit? We're moving it up to 2:30, I think.
This is Lindsay Collins. She is the producer of Turning Red.
I mean, literally.
The producer is the one orchestrating this giant circus. She has to be the ringmaster. When people are going, Lizzie's like, okay, let's make a plan. Let's figure out how to make this happen.
So in the race to get this done, we're probably just gonna be working on top of each other, which is great.
Lindsay's so smart. I think she's always like a million steps ahead so that I can worry about like what's happening in the present. Like I'm really good at working within boxes and limitations, and she was really good about like drawing them out for me to be like crazy and push up against.
Just to draw the storyline together maybe a little bit clearer.
I feel like I learned so much just by like watching her and working with her.
I see it as the partner to the director. So that includes being a creative partner, but also managing the crew and surrounding her with all the right people.
You know, in every meeting, you always offer ways to move story along, and you help production through, not just by managing it, but also just from like an emotional, creative side as well.
Mm, you do.
Rona.
I kind of like it when...
This is Rona Liu. She's the production designer of Turning Red. The production designer is the first person brought on the show after the producer and director.
You know, we're talking about the values being like super, super crunched.
And that's basically because from the very beginning, their job is to kind of figure out what the movie is gonna look like. And that is everything from characters to sets to color to tone and style.
My role is to collaborate closely with the director and make sure that her vision translates throughout all of the department and onto the screen.
In a video chat.
So welcome everyone. Today we're gonna kick it off with Athena and the panda costume shaping.
For her tail, the lighter part can take on some of that red. I know I'm providing information that other people need to get their work done. Let's tone the two sides where there's the star and the heart. I feel like that's the most important part of my job, is to just make sure that everybody else feels good about the work that they're doing.
Okay. Good job, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, bye.
People wave, and the views of them disappear as they leave the meeting.
Being pregnant while we're in the crunch of things definitely made me have to just trust my team a lot more. It's the first time in my life where I was comfortable telling my manager, Sophia, I need to take some time to nap.
Now she pets a black cat being held by a long-haired man.
Hey, Rona, where are we?
We're in the living room area. This is the entrance to our house. And this is our kitty. And this is my soon-to-be husband. We're getting a Zoom married on Friday.
Mm-hmm. We've been engaged for so long, we figured now's a good time to do it.
Yeah.
Seen through a window, Rona walks through a garden.
Being able to step away, touch base with a loved one, and to say, hey, how's your day going? And just being really connected in both of our lives for the first time.
She takes her fiancé's hand.
That's been really comforting.
Artwork shows young May sweeping while her mom directs her.
I'm an only child, and my dad had to go away to work a lot, so a lot of the times it was just me and my mom.
A sketch shows them waving goodbye to her dad.
We'd go on Chinese bus tours. Like, he'd pick the locations, and she would take us to, like, Atlanta or Halifax. Prince
Prince Edward Island. Maybe not like up front, like the most exciting places, but we would spend like a ton of time just together on the bus talking. It was good at first, but you know, like everybody, like you grow up and you change and you want to have your own friends and your own life. And it's kind of just about how that transition happens.
May rides in a car beside her mom.
I love the lighting. I love everything in this sequence. Great work, you guys.
At school, May hides her hair under a knit cap.
It's been a long time since I was 13. But I just remember it being like a lot of highs and lows. It's such a turbulent time in a person's life, especially a girl's, I think. Small things can feel super, super important, and you could like love something one day and hate it the other.
I didn't even like Fort Town last year, but now they're literally the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
This film is very personal to me in that it was very much inspired by my own life growing up in Toronto and being the only child of my overprotective mom and dad.
A photo shows her as a toddler with her parents.
We're about to hop onto a Zoom call with my parents, and they're going to dig through all of the artwork and things that I've ever created in my life. They've collected all of it. Everything. Oh, there's my parents. Hi.
Hi, Thelma.
Hello, yo.
How's it going? Is it weird having a whole camera crew in the house?
Yes. Yes, people, yes, they are around us.
They live in Toronto, Canada, still in the same house that I grew up in. It pretty much looks exactly the same every time I go back.
You write a letter, remember, to Santa Claus to ask for a snow.
Yeah, and then you replied as Santa Claus.
Dear Domi, thank you for your lovely letter. I'm very satisfied with your achievement behavior.
Why would Santa Claus ever say that?
And I ask you to write a story every week. 1998 to 2003. Look at this, it's all posty.
She wrote a table of contents, a foreword. Can you read some of your foreword?
This is a collection of Domi's writing during her grade 4 to 6. Domi loved writing and drawing when she was young.
So my dad would be like my art tutor, but my mom would encourage my writing.
So those pieces, it make me so impressed.
This one is your thing.
The Wi-Fi sucks.
You're just a kid.
No, he's saying nice things about me and I can't hear it.
He's never this generous with his praise. Come on.
Oh, God.
They show a banner with a photo of her.
Yeah, why is this? It's so big.
In the living room, there's like an ever-growing shrine dedicated to me. It looks like they really love me and that I'm dead or something.
And this one is you get 6 years old, and we get a Canadian citizenship.
Oh yeah, I remember the judge. I heard you guys collected all of my sketchbooks. Let's look through them together.
Her dad holds one up.
Pokemon.
Oh yeah, Pokemon. That's middle school. And then high school is when I started drawing a lot of like beautiful people. There's boys? If there's boys, then it's close to high school.
The boys,
I see. Oh my God.
Her dad holds up a sketch of a young man.
Oh, this is so embarrassing. There was like this fan art contest that I entered where it's like, draw Draco's children. Okay, maybe we can look at another sketchbook.
May and her friends peer into the convenience store. Mm,
Devin.
Ugh. May I remind you what real men look like?
May and Miriam dance.
There's just so much comedy in female adolescence that I don't see a lot of.
I just can't wait to show people just how weird girls can be.
May hurls a dodgeball.
Because I was totally that as a teen and a young adult and like now.
May holds her flute case with her teeth.
I love how May is just a confident dork. And she's unapologetic about it. I feel like she was the girl that I wanted to be.
There's so many elements of me in May. Spunky, loud.
Power to the people!
Doesn't care what anyone thinks.
I accept and embrace all labels.
Even though I was a total nerd. I was so oblivious to that, and I think that helped me.
She herself never questions who she is, and I think she fights what is expected of her, but deep down, she always knew who she was, and she was always so accepting of herself.
I remember being that at some point and then, you know, hitting that age and then suddenly turning very, very shy when I got acne and then, you know,
and I was very aware of my body and all that stuff. And that's what I wanted to explore with, you know, May turning into a red panda. She's this girl that has her life together, and then all of a sudden, magical puberty hits.
It's going to be okay.
No, it's not. Will you just get out?
Excuse me?
Are you serious?
For May, I really wanted her to sound unique.
Oh my gosh, that's like the best thing ever.
I wanted her to feel like a real girl.
Rosalie talks into the mic while Domi watches.
And so we found Rosalie Chang.
It's like you feel bad about turning her down because she's your mom.
Wow.
She just had this really great voice. There was just like a charming imperfection to it.
For May, it was important to design her in the way that we saw ourselves. Her face is round, her ankles are thick. We definitely embraced her chunky cute. It's kind of our design aesthetic for our characters and for our sets.
May makes different expressions.
We were like looking at each other's faces. We're like, hey, we got moles. She should have moles.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, Rona,
you have funny lips or something.
Yeah, you have like that dip in your lip. Let's put that in. Yeah. Hey, Rona, you have really patchy eyebrows. When that part of myself gets celebrated and the director's like, hey, I like that, let's put it in our main character, you're like, hey, why did I hate that for so long?
Ming sticks her head out of the bathroom.
Jin, it's happening!
At home, Lindsay approaches a teenage boy.
What are you doing?
For me, this story is so much my day-to-day life. I had to admit that I am much more the mom than I am the main character because I actually have three kids who are teens. I am surrounded by teenagers and hormones and puberty at work, and then I go home and I am equally, if not more, surrounded by puberty and hormones at home.
Are you guys gonna walk the dog? Or will you take him together? Or are you gonna take him separate?
One of her sons takes the dog out.
Hi, thank you.
We're being very well behaved. It's just not normally good.
Photos show May with her mother.
The number one rule in my family, honor your parents. They're the supreme beings who gave you life. The least you can do in return is every single thing they ask.
With Domi and Rona.
I think both of us probably grew up under a lot of pressure to, you know, make our parents proud.
Yeah. I had that pressure on myself. Like, I was very high strung. I was really into good grades. I was into the image of the perfect girl.
I never asked for anything. My whole life, I've been her perfect little Maymay. Temple duties, grades.
Violin, tap, dancing.
Yeah, we've been so good. If they don't trust us anyway, then what's the point?
May's struggle in this film is she's torn between being her mom's good little daughter and embracing her like wild inner beast.
Photos display Domi as a teen.
That is a universal struggle that a lot of kids go through, especially I think immigrant kids. There's definitely like more of this obligation to carry on your family's legacy and make sure that their sacrifices in coming to a new country aren't in vain. But also you're in a new country, you're experiencing all of this crazy, awesome stuff that maybe your parents didn't get to grow up with. You're caught between two worlds, and that's kind of what I wanted to explore in May. And also, like, literally caught between being, like, a human girl and a panda.
Photos show Rona.
I immigrated to the U.S. when I was 10, and my mom is very much in her Eastern roots. And when I came here, you know, I was the good little Chinese girl that I knew how to be. And then as I get more and more exposed to the Western culture and what it means to be an American teenager, my mom and I started to butt heads. I had to discover how to bridge the gap between being a dutiful daughter, faithful to myself, and a good friend. In eighth grade, I met my best friend, Aya Aladel. She really taught me.
They appear as animation.
That girls can burp the alphabet.
Rona burps.
Girls can want to play video games. If you trip and you fall on your face, you can learn to laugh at yourself. You don't have to be embarrassed for your decisions, for your mistakes, for who you are. She really opened my eyes to all of
that. Domi shows a dumpling-shaped pillow.
This is Bao. This is
Your first baby.
Our first baby. Rona designed this cute little nose for him.
Used our own noses.
You look like your mother. I had this short film that I was developing that became Bao, and Rona was one of the first people that I roped into the story. I was like, dang, she can really paint and she has really good taste. And she seems really cool. I really need an art person to like take this to the next level.
To be honest, like I will follow you to the ends of the earth. I think Domi is just a brilliant, brilliant mind.
I just feel like we click and we can like be so open in communicating with each other. We're different enough in certain areas of our taste that we can collaborate and create something even better together than if we worked on something separately. Mm-hmm.
May waves at red panda statues outside the temple.
Hey, Bart. Hey, Lisa.
In the movie, May and her family own and take care of a family temple. We took several trips to different historic temples around California that were built by early Chinese settlers, just to get a feeling of what these grassroots temples are like. I also spent time living behind a temple with my grandma in China, and I just remember it being just a really lovely memory. I'd make candles, and we would sell them to visitors of the temples, and I learned how to pray properly with my grandma.
A photo shows her grandma hugging her.
When we got to like building the set of the temple and dressing it, it was really cool like seeing those details that we saw at the temples kind of pop up in the background. Like there's just a bottle of vegetable oil, like cleaning supplies tucked away in the corner. They've been around since like the gold rush era. A lot of these immigrants who came with like so little were able to cobble together a little piece of home. That kind of felt like the immigrant spirit. That kind of felt like me and Rona and how like we, in our art, we are inspired by Eastern and Western stuff.
Should we try to match their face shape?
Kind of like a bell shape.
I remember you saying, Rona, like this is not a Chinese film. This is a coming of age film, but it just happens to be about a Chinese girl. We need to really tap into the mind of a 13-year-old growing up in 2002, growing up in Toronto.
What did we like when we were 13?
Yeah.
And we liked Sailor Moon. Mm-hmm. We liked anime. The fandoms are what got me really into anime. I was drawing fan art passionately. I had a secret sketchbook. You join an online community, you draw fan art, and then other people would comment on it, and that would encourage you to draw more, produce more, and that's kind of just what encouraged me to keep drawing.
I think as a kid, it was like such an escape. I know I'm Asian, but I'm in a very white school. It kind of was nice to be connected to that Asian side of myself. I didn't have a boyfriend, so then it's nice to read about boyfriends.
Yeah, and a lot of them are drawn and written by women, too.
Right.
There was a lot of stories told from like a girl's point of view, and they're like the heroes.
Yep.
They like save the day, or they change the hearts of all the boys and make them fall for her.
This is my house. This is my boyfriend, Darren.
Flashes show anime-related art around her home.
My many game consoles. I've been using these to de-stress over quarantine. This is this awesome Miyazaki art book I got about the Ghibli Museum. I got this rug over quarantine. Diane really likes this rug. Where's Diane? Diane.
I'm scared.
She creeps toward a white cat.
I'm scared. Come on.
She'll come out. She's shy. I think I'm craving like even more speed as she poofs into a panda and shoots forward.
We're paying homage to anime throughout the entire movie. You can see it in the expressions and the acting, the starry eyes in May when she sees a boy that she really, really loves.
May's eyes grow wide and starry.
May? Why are you staring at Carter Murphy Mayhew?
We definitely have a lot of expertise on the movie about being 13-year-old girls, for sure. There's definitely a lived experience there that we get to bring to the movie making, maybe in a different way than I would have been able to say on a movie like WALL-E, say.
Wow.
That scene with May going under the bed and all of a sudden she's sort of gripped by things and she's drawing these sexy pictures. and the conflict there, and why did I draw those things? I mean, I wasn't under my bed drawing things, but when I was 11, I had a little wooden clothespin, and I had this mad crush on this woman that was older than me, but I did not know that I was gay at the time. And I remember drawing her name on the clothespin and then flipping it over, and she played a sport, so I put her number down, and like that sat on my desk, and I would look at it sometimes. You know, like these things, these silly things you do. I get what May's doing.
So like from the side, let it look like this.
Did you know that I was like, oh my God, am I ready? Like
to be a production designer?
Yeah, will I be good? We both did it on a short, but like you're a first time feature. I would be a first time feature production designer.
I figured because I was nervous about directing for first time that you would be nervous about production designing, but I naively thought like, how much harder could it be directing a feature?
Are we gonna lose some of that as we get into
I was really scared, computer? Honestly, like at the beginning. I mean, you know, Domi was intimidating, right? I mean, she's, seriously, you were like super talented and—
I'm gonna be a diva.
No, yeah. I was never worried about that. And it was good too, because you also made me kind of, having done this for a while, like you questioned things that I hadn't questioned in a while.
A photo shows a younger Lindsay grinning at a desk.
So I started in May of 97 at Pixar on A Bug's Life. I'd worked in traditional animation, but at the time CG animation was a completely different ballgame. I just remember I would have this notepad and I would just write down questions. I was like, is the render farm a zoo? What's a cookie? Can I have a cookie? They're like, no, you cannot. A cookie is not the cookie. I was kind of like, here we go. Welcome to my questions. Danielle was definitely somebody that I sought out, and she would not judge you and give you a nice, clear, and concise answer. When we export Act 3, is there a way to do one that just has music and—
One of the things I love most about Pixar is that I'm still asking questions with the same amount of freedom and safety as I did on the first day I got here. It's just kind of a philosophy that I've kept, and it's something I like to encourage other people to do as they're starting on something, is just, if you don't know, you're probably not the only one in the room who doesn't know, so ask.
We basically started these this morning, so be gentle.
She plays a scene from WALL-E.
A little bit before I was asked to be the DP on WALL-E, I thought, oh, I don't know if I could ever be a DP. Maybe like in 10 or 15 years.
Wow, that's great.
This one we lit in 5 minutes.
So. Oh, but man.
And then Andrew Stanton asked me to be the DP on WALL-E. And I was terrified because I didn't think I knew how to do that at all.
I mean, I think we both credit Andrew to a big degree, frankly. We both had this encouragement neither one of us would have asked for until he kind of said, no, I want you to come do this.
It was an amazing experience. It was also, you know, half the time terrifying of just trying to figure out how to kind of hang on to who I was and make it through, even though a lot of times it felt like I didn't know what I was doing.
A view shows May's house at sunset.
But what we then decided to do is some look stuff that's sort of like, how do we get out of the Pixar look? How do we get into some new thing?
Fortown performs in Angel Wings.
We were trying to push the boundaries of style in both storytelling, in the camera, the look of things.
Using some hand-drawn elements, but then you sprinkle in Asian art influences. It's been so interesting to take those pieces and figure out how you can apply them to a 3D computer animated film.
For me, I really wanted to be a VFX supervisor that was making sure that people had the room to bring their very best. Not telling people what to do, but making space for them to shine. And I have to say, honestly, a lot of that has started with Rona, because she is the most collaborative production designer I have ever worked with, far and away. And I think it's made a huge difference to the movie and to people's enjoyment of making the movie.
Rona reaches for Danielle's hand.
And this is the trust and the confidence I gain.
This isn't just our first concert. This is our first step into womanhood. And we have to do it together.
May's friends are Miriam, Abby, and Priya. And they're her dork squad. They accept her no matter what, red panda or no panda. I always saw that as a metaphor for when I found my squad.
Fortown, here we come!
I love that May has these key friendships. I very much am that person myself. I always was the kid who had like two or three best friends. Those kind of quirky, dorky people who made you laugh. Equally insecure about what was going on. In high school, we'd get invited to the party and we'd be like, oh, okay, cool. And then we'd drive over to the party and like, we'd sit outside for a minute. And then we were like, let's go get a cake.
Animation depicts the three friends.
And then we'd eat a cake, like a whole cake, in the car, and then go home.
They grin as they drive away from the party.
It was about friends that listened to that moment when you were like, I'm not comfortable going in, or I'm not confident enough to do this, and all I really want to do is go hang out with you guys.
Domi hurries into a screening room.
Hi, sorry I'm late. Hi. Figuring out how to be comfortable in the room and finding my voice took a while. When I first started, I was definitely more nervous. I was one of the few women in the story department. What helped a lot for me was like a female story artist support group called the Story Artistas, led by Mary Coleman and Nicole Grindel. They were like, yeah, like I want you guys to get comfortable, like stating out loud what your goals are. And I think that was like one lunch where like I like meekly said out loud, like, I want to be a director. Oh. Oh, yeah, I'm really feeling that anger. She's like launching herself up. Sorry, I'm not. You could play Ming a little bit more in slow-mo as well. Yeah, otherwise it's looking good. Anyone else have thoughts? Notes?
Mamie, there you are.
Hey, Mom.
You're 10 minutes late. What happened? Are you hurt? Are you hungry?
Ming is like a force to be reckoned with.
Sandra Oh records in the studio.
She's just a sweet, innocent child. How dare you take advantage of her?
When Sandra Oh became the voice of Ming, it just felt like her character is starting to flesh out.
Oh God, please! I knew you were trouble.
Sandra's so funny, but she also has so much range. She added that missing piece to the puzzle of Ming.
I have a double jointed elbow. Look, I can make a perfect circle.
That was great. I think in terms of design, you wanted her to have the really powerful shoulders with these like thin eyebrows, kind of like Chinese ladies from like the 60s, yeah, with the qi pao and
stuff.
Like
I wanted traditional Chinese, mm-hmm, mixed with like working girl.
An unpainted figurine of Ming stands with her arms crossed and a disapproving look.
We definitely couldn't have written Ming without like input from Lindsay and like other moms, mm-hmm, on the show.
Artwork shows May and her parents.
I mean, I came at it purely from the point of view of like the oppressed teenage daughter. So it was really helpful like hearing that other side.
You don't know everything. Like you're making it up as you go along.
What I love about Ming is that she's not kind of one-sided cookie cutter character, and certainly not as a mom. And as a mom myself, I can appreciate those moments.
Hey, Sloane.
At Lindsay's home.
So will you remind me before we sit down to dinner to RSVP for your
fall festival?
Yeah.
The family eats dinner.
You're having conversations that you are like, is this even the right conversation to be having? Am I supposed to be playing more of a mom role? I don't even know what that is. You're talking about heartbreak and dating and insecurity and body image. I know how I feel about all those things, and yet I don't know what I'm supposed to say about any of them. I don't know if I'm supposed to pretend I don't have those issues or if I'm supposed to say I had all of them. We always joke that, you know, your poor oldest kid is like the first pancake. You're like, oof, sorry, dude. I'm pretty sure we're messing this up. The third one, we should be good. The third one, she's gonna have nothing to complain about.
You guys.
Lindsay grimaces.
The RSVP thing's closed.
Mom.
Okay, no worries.
Is it too late?
Yeah, apparently, but that's okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Now, her daughter sings while one of her sons plays guitar.
In a way, parenting overwhelms me much more than my job does. And I think it's just because I feel like the stakes are so much higher.
Every choice you make as a parent has equal chances of being this great memory and a success in your relationship with them, or alternatively, this huge disaster that they will talk about for the rest of their lives as the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to them.
In the car, Ming reaches out to her sullen daughter and rests her hand on May's.
Okay, who wants to get dressed?
Danielle carries her daughter in a flying position to a couch.
We both have worked very hard at our careers, and we are late mommies, and so I think both of us have a huge amount of regard for how important our work and career is, and so we try to protect that for one another. On Fridays, Paige is here with the kids. We don't have the nanny. And, you know, I sort of have this, like, oh, at any spare moment I have, I should be running out to help. And, like, she has zero expectation of that. That's made it so much more doable to be able to kind of balance the two things. Not that it's always easy or something, but it that makes a huge difference.
Well, you guys really destroyed the house this morning.
You know, it's really amazing. Like, those kids right now, they're almost 17 months. Maybe you can hear Jack crying in the other room. That's a little heartbreaking because I want to go run and help. It is a massive luxury to be able to see my kids as much as I have during this last year plus. Like, I never, ever would have been able to see them as much. I would have been racing home from work just to catch them going to bed. Sometimes I get to catch them for dinner. I always get to put them to bed.
Their son pulls a ring-shaped toy from around Paige's bun.
You know, it's not like you can ever get that time back.
A screen displays an image of May in red panda form sharing a hug with her three best friends.
Yeah, I think it's working really well.
Okay.
Final.
I think it took until screening 6 for us to finally have an ending. And that, I think, was because it took a long time for me to process my own relationship with my mother and just trying to figure out, like, how to be a good daughter for them. I also don't know what the solution is in real life. Like, is it about being true to yourself or is it about honoring your parents? I don't know. It's some messy mix of both. There's no clear answer.
At home, Rona feeds her baby a bottle.
Before I was a mom, it just didn't occur to me how hard it would be. I don't know how people do it, and I don't even know how I'm doing it right now.
A photo shows her as a girl with her mother.
My mom has been such a huge supporter of what I want to do, and she just always believed that I know what's best. That gave me so much freedom to be the artist that I am today.
Now she arrives at a park. She joins people from the production team, some who have brought their own kids.
Growing up, my parents separated, and striving for perfection came from this feeling of, like, I just want to be good enough to keep my dad and my mom. And maybe if I was a perfect little girl, my parents would be together.
She tears up.
Yeah. And it worked out in the best possible way for me. I feel like it made me ambitious ever since I had a baby. My worth, who I am, is no longer so much tied to others. I just feel like I am a whole being and I'm solid.
At the park, Danielle lifts her daughter skyward toward a paper lantern.
I think anyone being able to tell kids as they're growing up and going through this sort of chaos of emotion or feeling out of control or do my parents love me or can I be who I want to be and they'll still love me or who am I and what do the other kids want me to be?
Paige plays with their son.
We need art in general and especially things that go on a screen that kids can see to tell them that it is okay. And I think it's also for parents, it's okay to see all of that craziness and that it's a natural part of life that you've got to wade through to form who you really are.
May learns that she's not like her mom, and that's okay. And then she realizes, I'm my own person. I want to embrace this thing that every other member of my family has tried to lock away.
Ming shows her daughter the small wooden chest.
When she becomes this red panda, it, at first glance, represents everything she doesn't want to be. Her being different and standing out and feeling like she can't control herself or the situation the way she used to be able to. You can't go through life and become the amazing person you're supposed to become if things don't conspire to rock that sense of stability. When you say to embrace the red panda, I think that represents being okay with that part of yourself. It's okay not to be in control all the time. It's okay to be messy. It's okay to be loud. It's okay to be noticed.
If you don't accept it, it's a curse. And then if you embrace it, then it's a gift that keeps on giving. I mean, for May, once she embraced it, her whole life opened up to her.
The last year plus with the pandemic has been unlike anything any of us have experienced. It's been incredibly difficult. It's been very stressful. And for me,
This is the funniest movie I've ever worked on. And so if even at just that level, people get to have some laughs, I think that would be amazing. But it also has this much deeper thing of really being able to reach out and say, it's okay. Like, if you're confused and feeling crazy and you don't know who you are and you might let your parents down or you might let yourself down, and that's sort of a natural part of growing up. And if that could be what we provide for, I think, even one kid out there, that would be really amazing.
At home, Rona smiles down at her baby. A flash shows Domi's cat, then a strutting rooster. Danielle's French bulldog eyes the camera.
Garen made a quiche yesterday. Look, your quiche is on camera.
Domi takes a seat in front of the camera, then points at it.
In there?
Yeah, mom. She takes all the animals.
Danielle reads to her kids.
When these dogs come in here and start snoring so loudly, like to the point of like...
In the park, Danielle's son picks up a ball. Rona rocks gently as she holds her baby in a front carrier. Now, she and her fiancé appear in a video.
Do you, Rona, take Philip to be your lawfully wedded spouse?
I do.
Congratulations, you may kiss.
May sketches, staring ahead with wide eyes, then looks at her artwork.
Good boy, got it? Good job.
A zoo staff member feeds one of the red pandas. A view from below shows a red panda staring down at the camera before taking a small leap. Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Katie Lynn Snyder. Now, Domi emerges from a building and triumphantly tears off her face mask. Disney Pixar, Turning Red, now available on Disney Plus.